Blog Talk Radio.
My fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, here we go, people. Hey, you're right.
Yes, sir.
NFL draft, NBA playoffs. We got to cover.
I was going to say, man, I mean, we can pretty much just put in NFL draft, and that'd be good to go. We can talk about that for about 45 minutes. But we are going to talk about other things as well. Gentlemen, America, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man on this Wednesday special night. We're putting our sports talk shows, we don't correspond. We don't want to, you know, obviously take out the draft, which is tomorrow. We're here. It is April the 26th, man. We got a lot of things to discuss, as Robert said. So, let's jump into it. I am Andre, your host. Let's check in with my fellow co-host, JQ. How you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I'm ready for this NFL draft. I'm glad we got our own show that we don't work for ESPN because we might be looking at those pink slips and those separate slices. So I'm happy about that as well. You know, I'm ready to get it started, man. Talk some sports. And, again, I'm ready for tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I'm ready for that first pick.
Have some fun with that, too. And let's check in with my other co-host. Yeah, and like I said, I'm not crying for them again. I'm not crying for them at all. So they're making enough money. So all good. Rob Ford, T-Rob. T-Bob, how you feeling, man?
Man, doing fantastic. I'm like JQ, ready to get this party started. We got a lot going on in the sports world. Let's make it do what it do.
Let's do it. Let me give the numbers as we always do, 424-243-9519. That is the number to reach out to us, to your boys. If you want to also follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports, that is one route. And then last but not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12manSports, or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. So there you go. Let's get this party started. All right, gentlemen, we got to talk about the mock draft, man. Yeah, it's been here. It's finally here, as we talked about. You know, Rob, where are you on mock draft number 55, man? What's going on, man?
Well, obviously we're coming close to the end of the road with the mock drafts, so okay. It's very time-consuming, yeah. So that's one good thing. But it may even have a few more changes even by tomorrow, but we'll see. Obviously there's going to be a lot of updates on what's happening and things of that nature. This latest mock draft is maybe more, not necessarily how I envision it's going to go, but more so if I was a GM of the teams, the directions that I would go. I still have Myles Garrett number one to the Cleveland. Obviously, there's some talk in their war room that Mitch Trubisky's name has been coming up here lately for consideration. And I think if you're Cleveland, you missed on Carson Wentz last year. So I think there's some people in our organization that may panic here in this situation, but I think you got to stand pat and take the best player in this draft and don't force yourself to take a quarterback with this number one position, because none of these quarterbacks in this draft, at least in my estimation, are ready to play day one. So I think if you're Cleveland, you got to stand your ground. You got to draft Myles Garrett and then hopes that you can get a quarterback at some point. I actually haven't taken Deshaun Watson at number 12 as well. And so I think if you stand pat here and don't force yourself to draft a quarterback at number one, they claim they've made their decision over 2 weeks ago, so I still got to believe it's Myles Garrett, even though there's some Mitch Trubisky chatter that's going around. So I still believe it's going to be Garrett at the number one position. San Francisco, I tell you this, it could go several ways, but I'm still going to say if I'm their general manager, I would stick with Solomon Thomas. I think he's the next best player in this draft. And obviously a great pass rusher. right there from the Bay Area in Stanford. So you get a guy who the area, who the local area is familiar with there, and you stick with Solomon Thomas. There's some talk about Jamal Adams. There's some talk about Jonathan Allen. There's some talk even about Leonard Fournette going to the number two position. But I think if I'm San Francisco, I would go Solomon Thomas in this situation. And then when you look at Chicago, I have Jamal Adams, safety from LSU, a real true leader, great defender there. Obviously, John Allen could be another guy you look at with Alabama. But I'm going to go Jamal Adams at the number three spot. Jacksonville, another one where it gets interesting. If I'm Jacksonville in this position, you take the best player available and you go with Jonathan Allen, defensive tackle from Alabama, although I believe that they'll probably go Leonard Fournette here at the running back position. But Jonathan Allen will be a solid foundation to a lot of young talent that they already have on defense as well, and I think they can go that route and they can take a Joe Mixon in the second round. Marshawn Lattimore, clearly the best cornerback in the draft. I am going number five to Tennessee. Leonard Fournette, if Jacksonville does not take him at four, I believe the Jets will at six, unless Carolina move up, which there is some chatter in regards to that. They are interested in moving up to take a Leonard Fournette if possible. O.J. Howard is a tricky one. I do believe he's going to be in the top 10. Right now, I have him going number 7 to the Chargers. Carolina, I have him going Malik Hooker, free safety, Ohio State.
First time saw that.
And Cincinnati, Christian McCaffrey, running back Stanford. Number 10,
man.
Mitch Trubisky. this is obviously could start some rumors there in Buffalo, but I have him going to Buffalo at the number 10 spot, Mitch Trubisky. He could go as high as we talked about, number 2 to San Fran as well. Andre and I have talked about this. The Saints need defense, but don't be surprised if one of their first three picks is going to be offensive player. And right now, if Mike Williams falls to him at number 11, I wouldn't even be opposed to the Saints taking him. The Saints' true needs are defensive end, a pass rusher, and cornerback. Those are the deepest positions in this draft. So they'll be able to get a guy at one of those positions at 32, second round, and there are going to be some pass rushers in the third round in this draft that become starters, mark my word. They're the deepest positions in this draft. So I think if you're Saints, you don't panic. You always take the best player available in the first round. You don't reach for a need. If it's a need that just so happened to be the best player available, then you take them.
Let me ask this question. You're going to take Mike Williams over John Ross. You think that's the case for real?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think John Ross is actually, he's a speedster. But as far as a pure wide receiver with great size, and these are the type of receivers that Drew Brees really likes. He likes these receivers. The Marcus Colstons, the tight ends over the years, and the Jimmy Grahams, and the Ben Watsons, and the Jeremy Shockeys. And you saw Michael Thomas come in as a rookie with his imposing size and lead the team in catches.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I would be shocked if the Saints take him at 11, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
What about the Falcons?
Yeah, carry on.
Falcons, right now I have him going offensive guard, Forrest Lamp from Western Kentucky, one of the better guards in the draft. Still haven't gone with Roquan McMillan in the second round of the draft. And you look at Cincinnati in the second round, haven't gone Jordan Willis, defensive end, outside linebacker from Kansas State.
Yes, sir. I would love that.
And the Saints, 32 pick cornerback, Kevin King from Washington. Malik McDowell, defensive tackle, Michigan State in the second round.
You don't want him. His motor sucks. You don't want McDowell. He's an on off again player. He don't play every play. What about Green Bay? Who you got him going in the first round?
Green Bay, Cam Robinson, offensive tackle from Alabama. Obviously, they still need to improve that offensive line. That's something that they've struggled with over the last couple of years. And part of the reason why Aaron Rodgers have been kind of off and on a little bit here the last couple of years as well.
I think that's Olivia Munn, but that problem might be eliminated. The only thing I was thinking at New York City, San Francisco, you talk about John Lynch, Pro Bowl safety. I could see them taking Jamal Adams at number two and him molding him to be himself. You know what I mean? In terms of leading that defense, you're getting Navarro Bowman back, and now the middle of that defense is a little better with Jamal Adams and Navarro Bowman for San Francisco. I think O.J. Howard sneaks in somewhere in there, and I think he's going to go somewhere where you're not going to be necessarily expected. Like, I can see, like, a Kansas City where they pair him with Kelce, and then you get, like, a Gronk and a Hernandez kind of situation happening with Alex Smith and the ball control and running the ball, which they love to do under Andy Reid. I can see that happening as well. Cincinnati, the only reason why they're not taking Ruben, I don't know if they will take Ruben Foster. I think Joe Mixon is a lock unless somebody takes him before them in the second round. Joe Mixon is a Bengal if he's on the board in the second round. But I'm not sure about Ruben Foster in the first round as much as I was, because there's rumors that he has to have a second shoulder surgery. And if you remember, it's the same kind of situation that Buffalo ran into last year with Shaq Lawson. And they took him anyway at the top of the second round, and he ended up having to have shoulder surgery. And he missed a lot of time for Buffalo last year. So, but I think Mixon is a lock. I think that's the one I think is the lock into the locks. He's going to Cincinnati because I told you. They're just
you can't back down now. You can't back down now, JQ. You're going all in, bro.
Well,
you were going all in.
Well, watch Jacksonville there. If they don't get Fournette in the first round, that's going to be an option in the second round for Jacksonville. I think also Joe Mixon will be an option for the second round for Carolina if they don't get a running back. Carolina picks one pick ahead of Cincinnati in the second round. So that's another one to watch. Right now, my latest mock, I have him going 35 to Jacksonville, but he can go anywhere between 35 to 45. And don't get me wrong, I think Joe Mixon has an outside chance of sneaking to the latter part of the first round too. So don't be surprised if that happened. O.J. Howard, I think he's definitely a top 11 pick in this draft. I can't see him falling all the way down to Kansas City. And I believe he has a chance of going as high as number 5 to Tennessee. Right now, I have him going 7 to the Los Angeles Chargers. So that's one to watch there. And it's going to be interesting to see what Carolina does as well as number 8. McCaffrey, I think, is going to be in play for Carolina at number 8 as well if they don't get Fournette. And so that's going to be interesting to see which direction that they go in. Reuben Foster, right now I have him going 14 to Philadelphia. And I still think he's probably going to fall somewhere in that top 15 pick area in this draft.
I don't know what I would do with myself if Cincinnati took McCaffrey. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I don't, because it's not necessarily a bad pick, but I think that for me, I think that's too high for McCaffrey. But I also think that McCaffrey has an outstanding skill set of returner, wide receiver, running back that could fill that void. You let Bernard kind of just, you know, go on and maybe keep killing, see if he gives you a bigger back. I'm not necessarily overly opposed to that. But I don't. That would come from such left field. I would be really surprised at it. But I'm sorry. I don't mean to hold on to the draft, Dre. Do what you do, bro.
Well, I think it's safe to say that Cincinnati, I think at some point in this draft, is going to draft a running back. Whether it's McCaffrey in the first round, whether it's Mixon in the second round, or even some point in this draft, I think Cincinnati will draft a running back at some point in this draft.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And you mentioned John Ross. Right now I have him going 22 to Miami. So Adam Gase down there is looking to add some more offense and get some more weapons in that offensive system there. Obviously you got Jarvis Landry and Kenny Stills, but he's looking to spread the ball around the field and see if he can get some more weapons for Tannehill as well.
You know what's interesting? If you were talking about it earlier, I know we're going to talk about a couple things. Like I said, we can literally talk mock draft all night, but we'll switch it up. But you talked about Cleveland and kind of the ghost of the past, because I still think it kind of affects two squads. Because think about this: if I know it's tough. Like if the Rams didn't trade their pick, you know, they'd be looking at an impact wide receiver right now. So they'd be looking at either a John Ross or a, you know, Mike Williams. So they need an impact wide receiver too. So hopefully that'll happen for them. But again, you talked about Cleveland. You know, they weren't kind of sold on Carson Wentz either. They were sort of picking between Jerry Goff and Wentz, as we know, and you know, you had Hugh Jackson, who was supposedly the quarterback guru, and he decides, well, you know, they didn't really get a ringing endorsement. So I agree with you that some way, somehow, this is going to be interesting. We're not quite sure what's going to happen in that perspective too, but you know, like you said, Rob, right now all signs looking at that. Miles Garrett has been following a lot of Cleveland guys, so we think that's the case. But until it actually happens, until, you know, Goodell walks across the stage, we know we're not sure what's going to happen with that perspective. There's been some talk about Tennessee making some trades, so we'll keep an eye on that. And Rob, I'm going to ask you this question too. So you think that Carolina is going to draft a impact player versus a running back that high? So looks like you have Dalvin Cook going to the Giants at 23. So why do you think he's dropping that? Just because that's kind of what's happening in your perspective, or you think Christian McCaffrey's better, or what about that move? Because I thought Dalvin Cook was pretty high on certain people's draft boards.
Well, all indication is that Christian McCaffrey has moved ahead on ahead of Dalvin Cook of most teams' draft boards here. The Giants doesn't really have a feature running back, and that's probably one of their weaknesses on offense. So I think Dalvin Cook at 23, I think, would be a good pick for the Giants if he falls that far to number 23. Cook may still be in play to the Colts at 15, but the Colts still desperately need some defense too. Hassan Reddick is a very versatile linebacker who have the Colts taking at 15 for Temple, a guy who can rush the passer, a guy who some people think could possibly be on a Khalil Mack kind of level for the Oakland Raiders. So we'll see. He has that kind of athletic ability, dropping coverage, can rush and rush the passer. He may even be gone before 15 as well. He could be easily gone somewhere between 9 to 14 ahead of him at the 15 position as well. Right now I have him slotted 15 to the Colts. So the Colts will have to make a decision. Do we look to improve our defense? Do we get that running back to help protect Andrew Luck? And they can still use some help on O-line, too. The Colts can really still use some help on the offensive line as well. So that would be another position to watch for them.
What you got, JQ? Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Dalvin Cook is that he's getting all these red flags raised on him right now and at the worst possible time. And I think, you know, he's accusing some dude of, you know, maliciously spreading false rumors about him. But I think, you know, when you can't bet that before the draft and you try to, you know, get the best value for your pick in this, you know, 7-round draft, it can hurt you and make a dude fall where he shouldn't maybe have failed, you know, like a columnist from LSU. And I think Gerrion Conley is going to have the same problem as well, that you just don't have enough time to unring that bell and get it vetted for a team to spend a high pick that they would have spent on you if that happens. And they're looking at you like, oh, wait a minute, you know, I didn't know about all these things. So that's where I think Dalvin Cook is, and I think that's why McCaffrey is moving ahead of him. And plus McCaffrey just is a jack-of-all-trades, and he checks off a lot of boxes. He can run the ball and handle it 15 to 20 times, probably closer to 15. You can put him in the slot at wide receiver. He can return kicks. Like, when you can do those different things, it helps you move up, you know, in the draft. I mean, and the tape doesn't necessarily lie. He did it on tape. You know, we didn't agree with him not playing in the Sun Bowl, and then bench pressing 10 reps on 225, but I still think that he has a very good skill set. And then with those things that come up about Dalvin, it's going to make Christian kind of surge ahead of him.
Yeah, fair enough. He's more of a cleaner athlete. I'll give you that is what it sounds like, too. He does seem like he's a good – and I've heard there's a buddy. You remember Richmond, Scott Richmond, right, Rob, from NCC?
Yes, yes.
He actually loves Christian McCaffrey. He's like, that's the guy I want, man, which is kind of interesting. So I don't know. That's just something to think about because he kind of fits – he's like, he kind of fits Philly, you know. He's tough, you know, but who knows, man. So we'll keep an eye on that situation as well, too.
Gary Conley, who JQ just mentioned, the cornerback from Ohio State, this is going to be really interesting to watch. And, you know, how much stock they're going to put into this allegations that are going against him. Right now, I hear there's a video that's been released today that proves that he's innocent in this situation. So we'll see. Right now, I still have him slotted in the latter part of the first round, 25 to Houston. Houston obviously has to replace A.J. Bouye, who decided to sign with Jacksonville. But Conley could still go somewhere in the first round. He could fall all the way down to the third round. So it's just going to be depends on how much stock NFL teams put into the situation. Right now I have him slotted at 25, but he has a chance to drop to the third round.
He could drop farther than that, bro. I mean, I know the video just came out today, but the draft is tomorrow. If he has a much bigger slide because of that, teams can bet whether that video is authentic and they believe it. I can see him falling into not being drafted, and it wouldn't surprise me because that kind of allegation right before the draft is just a killer. And like I said, you can't unring that bell, and that video helps him. Don't get me wrong. But if your job is on the line as an evaluator or a GM, are you going to take that chance that that video is authentic and it comes out like, oh, it's not, and such happened, now you just burned this first third-round pick on me? I want him to do well. That's OH. But at the same time, I'm also not a GM. So I hear what you're saying, but it helps. But I wouldn't be shocked if he fell farther than that. But the other two people that, you know, you got to talk about is Reuben Foster, you know, and I talk about with the Bengals, and Jabril Peppers, because even with just a diluted sample, they now enter the NFL in the drug program. So you have to be, as a GM, looking at them and saying, okay, I believe this story, and I feel like he only did this because he was sick or he was trying to get his weight back up. But what if one of them smokes weed and they just happen to get sick or whatever?
Every day.
You know, I just hope this get past this test. But now he's in the drug program, and you spent the first, second, third-round pick on this dude. What do you do now? Like, you got to take how these GMs are going to factor that into the equation when they put the board together finally before the draft tomorrow. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if those dudes had big slides. If they don't, they have the talent to overcome it, and I see why a GM may have risked their job on it. But if they fall, I wouldn't be surprised either, and I'll be sitting back like, oh, yeah, things like that happen right before the draft. You're in trouble. Like, it's that's what happened.
Gotcha. Got it. Hey, so really quickly here, so I know we got a lot of other topics to discuss, and I'm going to throw this really quickly to you. Now, Rob, I think you kind of made the mock draft up the way that you would, you know, you said that this is if I was the GM. So if you're the Saints GM, that's who you would pick for you if you were the Saints GM. This is who, like, forget about whatever, like, who's the player that you would want, you know, maybe one or two players you want as a Saints fan coming into the draft.
Who I would want?
Who would you want? Not based upon, you know, if you're just like, you know, not based upon scouting report, you know, just like, this is the guy that I want for my Saints.
Well, obviously, if I had to get any player in the draft, I want Myles Garrett or Solomon Thomas
draft. I'm saying based upon where you're at, and, you know, obviously, you know, realistic too. That's what I'm thinking about too. So I mean, to like,
well,
not,
I mean,
not
if
like
you're being realistic
like,
here,
yeah.
Obviously, if you're being realistic here, you got a Mike Williams here at number 11. Who I would really like, wide receiver from Clemson. I guess another guy who I would be interested in, if you're being realistic, would be Derek Barnett, defensive end for Tennessee. Right now I have him going 13 to Arizona, so I still have him on the board at number 11 when the Saints pick. And maybe even Hassan Reddick, linebacker from Temple, who I think could be a pass rusher, which the Saints need an additional pass rusher on defense. So I think if you're being realistic, you're talking one of those three players who I think could be available there in that number 11 slot. And, I mean, if you're being realistic right there, I would be happy with one of those three. Another guy who, you know, if the Saints decide to trade down at number 11, who I like, Taco Charlton, defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rusher from Michigan. He's got the long arms. He's got the athletic ability, a little bit raw, but I think with some coaching, he can be a really freakish pass rusher in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I have him going number 20 to Denver at the moment. So maybe if the Saints decide to trade down and get more picks, that could be another option for you there.
Okay. I'm just curious.
You know, going back to the Gary and Conley situation, I don't know if you guys recall, I believe it was last year's draft, La'el Collins, offensive guard from LSU.
Yeah.
You talk about a guy who was supposed to be a first-round pick. All of a sudden, his ex-girlfriend gets killed, and it turns out he had nothing to do with it. But, you know, they didn't have enough information at the time of the draft, but the guy goes undrafted.
Right.
He goes undrafted, and the Dallas Cowboys sign him as a free agent. And now he's a starting offensive lineman in the NFL. But he didn't get drafted, lost millions of dollars for something he didn't even have anything to do with. So that Conley situation, that is really real, that he could possibly go all the way out of this draft.
Wow. All right, what about you, JQ? Yep. Like, if you're like a Cincinnati Bengal, not you know, just whatever, but this is who I'd like. And, you know, I know we keep talking about Reuben Foster, but, you know, is that the guy you want, or this is just kind of you just kind of talking? But, yeah. Who would you want?
If I had my brothers and he's hurt his own stock by being hurt, I would be okay with the Bengals drafting Corey Davis from Western Michigan. I think that he would be a solid number two to A.J. Green and give A.J. Dalton another weapon. And I think he's more safe than people give him credit for. I would personally. And I wouldn't be opposed to Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is a stud. And you can say what you want to say, but that joke is why I run the ball.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give me Joe Mixon and Corey Davis to help that offense where the defense wasn't horrible. If you look at the numbers down the stretch for the last six, seven games, the defense helped keep Cincinnati in the game. They just didn't have enough weapons to exploit that. So you give them some weapons. And like Rob said, the defensive side of the ball is the deepest part of this draft. So if you got a chance to go ahead and snap two good offensive players and then say from 3 to 7, I'm going to go defense and a couple offensive linemen, peppered out through here, and I got comp picks, you know, can't rule out, you know, not taking consideration the compensatory picks that the Bengals have three of them. So they have like two fourth round picks, two fifth round picks, and I think like two seventh round picks. So you can do the defensive spread and a little offensive line, but if I get a chance to get two, still, you know, really good offensive players for Andy Dalton and outside of A.J. Green and Eifert, I'm going to do it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Corey Davis, right now I have him going 18 to Tennessee. Western Michigan, giving them some help offensively, too, for Marcus Mariota.
Gotcha. As a Falcon fan, I think the guy that I would like, I know Robert's when we talk about this, I would like Buda Baker, man, from Washington. And I think that's the Earl Thomas guy that we need, the free safety, to kind of complete the defense, man. So that's the guy that some way, somehow, I know we need, like, a pass rusher at some point, but, you know, maybe we trade down or trade back and get, like, two picks in there. I know – offensive guard is kind of a need too, you know, right guard. But, you know, like I said, we'll see how that plays out. I know that's kind of a good pick or value pick. Everyone's looking at that. But edge rusher, like you said, Rob, it's a deep draft. Maybe we can get like a Rivers, you know, Derek Rivers later on. You know, that's kind of a guy we're targeting. But like I said, we'll see, man. I mean, like I said, at least I know that's who I'd like for the Falcons to get if I'm kind of like calling the shots too, man. So just kind of like get that safety, got our back end set with Keanu Neal and Buda Baker. And kind of go from there, too. So that's what I like for to happen. And I appreciate you guys going down that path, that exercise with me, for sure. All right, let's talk about this. We've been talking a lot about the Saints, Rob, so just keep it going here, bro. Mark Ingram responds to the Saints signing Adrian Peterson. Congrats. After all the tantrums he threw last year, I'm kind of curious what he said, man. So what did he say, man? I'm sure what's happening in the land of Orleans down there, bro?
Well, as of right now, Mark Ingram is saying all the right things, that he wants to win and he feels like he can learn from Adrian Peterson. And so anybody that's watched the Saints ever since Sean Payton has been the head coach, he never features one running back. And and Mark Ingram last year did go over 1,000 yards, probably have his best season in his career. And but anybody that's watched the Saints, I mean, Mark Ingram had over 1,000 yards. Tim Hightower, who was out of football for about 4 years, ran for about 500-600 some yards, who signed with the 49ers now. So, I mean, Peterson is coming in to back up Mark Ingram. And that's the bottom. I mean, I don't know how much Peterson has got left in the tank. Sean Payton believes he still got something left in the tank, so we'll have to see. You have to prove it to me. And, you know, we'll go from there. But as of now, Mark Ingram is saying all the right things. But if you go back, like I said, if you watch Sean Payton over 11 years, he, you know, from a fantasy football standpoint, he probably drives you crazy because he rotates running backs. He plays all of his running backs, 3 or 4 per game. And they're going to continue to do the same thing. And you even go back to the Super Bowl season in 2009. Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush, they mixed and matched them the entire games. And then when they had big leads on teams, they brought in Mike Bell, and they just hammered them with Mike Bell every down. And so, you know, I'm not sure. You know, Peyton says he's got a clear vision for him, so we'll wait and see what happens. But it should be interesting.
Right.
Monday night, opening weekend, Saints at Minnesota. Adrian Peterson goes back to Minnesota the first game of the season.
Uh-oh.
I plan to be in the
there
team.
It is. Nice. Cool. Anything to add to that, JQ?
Well, yeah, the thing about it also when you talk about Travis Cadet as well, as a third string and a pass catching running back for the Saints, yeah, they never really feature one running back. And if you're Mark Ingram, you have all the incentives to be cool because guess what? Adrian Peterson ain't going to play for another 1 or 2 years. So, I mean, you feel like you got 5, he got 2. You're like, okay, yeah, he comes in and gets a little thing and keeps my legs a little fresh, takes some carries off of me. You know, he's a great – I learned something from him. But at the end of the day, it's not like somebody's going to be there for 10 years. Like, I'd be more worried if they drafted Joe Mixon And you're like, shit. Sorry. You know, like, damn. You know, they got me. I'm on the way out. But if it's Adrian Peterson, you're like, okay, we share the carries, and then he retires, and then I go back to being me. Like, so it behooves him to do that, to take the high road with somebody who knows at the end of the rope.
And I still wouldn't be surprised if the Saints still draft a running back. I mean, I really would not be surprised at all. And so based on reports that I've got, the Saints are one of the few teams where they've gotten approval from their ownership to draft Joe Mixon. So I would not be surprised if they still draft another running back.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, there you go. So, you know, he could be throwing another tantrum for you, JQ, just to let you know, man. But, yeah, man. I'd be happy for somebody to keep extending my career because, as you know, the running back position is definitely more devalued, but it will extend your career if you are able to kind of at least, you know, kind of balance it out. All right, another big move. We're kind of in the running back mode. Your thoughts, and I'll start with you, JQ, about Marshawn Lynch to the Raiders, man. What type of move is that, man? Beast mode going to the Bay Area, then on to Las Vegas. But, yeah, tell me your thoughts about that, man.
Well, I don't think he's going to be around long enough to go to Las Vegas. I think he's going to be like, he's the same kind of thing as Adrian Peterson. You hope he has enough left.
It's a PR move.
Yeah, but if he's got some left, he's going to bring attitude to that offensive locker room that you will not believe. And Derek Carr is a very confident quarterback. He's just as, you know, Philip Rivers' religious cousin with his, but he's still just out there. Like, he's a competitor. Don't get him wrong. Like, I love that move for Oakland. I think it's real low risk. If it don't work out, you can always get running back in the draft. But him being from Oakland, playing for them in the last couple years in Oakland, he might have another beast mode run that he had in Seattle where he just runs over nine dudes on the way to the end zone. He might.
Rob, your thoughts.
Just saying.
I love it.
He's in the league in rushing. You never know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're Oakland, obviously, you know, you lose Latavius Murray to Minnesota, so you need somebody to come in and replace him. But just like I said about the Saints, I still would not be surprised if Oakland drafts a running back at some point in this draft.
Yeah.
Like JQ just mentioned, Marshawn Lynch is from Oakland. He probably only wants to play in Oakland, so by the time they go to Vegas, he probably going to retire again. And so he's getting an opportunity to go back and play in his hometown. And he's probably only going to be around a couple of years. And as you know, you need multiple running backs. So I still would not be surprised if they still go out and get a running back at some point in this draft. Right now at 24, I have him taking David Njoku, the tight end from Miami, Florida, a very athletic tight end, give Derek Carr another weapon down the middle of the field. And that could be a big addition to the offense, give them some more explosiveness. And even in the second round, I have the versatility of Curtis Samuel from Ohio State that they could possibly add to the mix as well.
Ooh, I love this draft.
Good move. All right, so we got to show the mic back there. So this is an interesting move in that the Green Bay Packers sign Jarry Evans. Now, is it too late for this, Rob? I mean, I know that we said that they needed, you know, offensive line help, and there's some you got them drafted too. But what's about this move, Rob? About you really familiar with Jarry Evans.
Well, I'll be honest with you. A couple of years ago, I thought he was done in the NFL. You know, he had a lot of penalties, and you know, he had some nagging injuries that was bothering him. And the Saints released him, and he wound up signing with Seattle last offseason, and Seattle cut him. The Saints last year were having some issues in training camp and preseason. The interior offensive line, they brought Jarry Evans back. And he had a phenomenal year last year. I'm actually kind of surprised that the Saints didn't bring him back, you know, just to offer some more insurance for another year or two. But he actually bounced back last year and had a great year. And so if Green Bay could get some of that left, obviously the Saints signed Larry Warford. They went younger, got the offensive guard from the Detroit Lions, and but if Green Bay can get another year or two of what Jarry Evans gave the Saints last year, I think it's a great move for the Packers. And the Packers need some help on the whole line, and I haven't taken Cam Robinson, offensive tackle from Alabama, to help out as well. And also in the second round, I haven't taken tight end Adam Shaheen, tight end from Ashland, small school. Remember that name?
Interesting take. To your point, I think it's a good move. I think they'll be able to sign him at a low cost. And even if he gets 6-8 games, you know, that starts and just gets the season off without too much interruption on that offensive line, he's a veteran guy. He'll be the oldest guy on their line. I assume he'll start. So, you know, get 6-8 weeks in. I mean, who knows? He might have another 2 years. He might have 6-8 games in him. Who knows? But I think it's a good move by Ted because he doesn't have to you know, I'd have to disagree with you. I don't think they're going to take an offensive lineman in the first round. I think they're probably going to take one of those big defensive backs at pick. Uh-huh. Are they 29?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think they'll take one of those defensive backs or a pass rusher. And like you said, the draft is deep in defensive backs and pass rushers. So I think their first three rounds, they probably go defensive back, pass rusher, maybe mix those three up. But I think they get those three positions in the first three rounds.
There you go.
Very nice. Big Mike on it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, gentlemen. So that's a good transition here. So I really want to talk about, and Rob, please forgive me, too. I want to kind of talk about two quick things. I do want to talk about some NBA stuff, too, because we've got about, you know, it's 11:36 here. I hope we can put this in there. I do want to talk about, if you don't mind, I want to skip over to Deshaun Watson, if he's going to be better than Dak Prescott. So tell me your thoughts about this, Rob, and then we'll let JQ and I'll kind of end this, and we'll talk a little bit about some other things really quickly. We'll try to get some other stuff in here. So really quickly, what's your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, I think he has the potential to be better than Dak Prescott, but it's so hard after how well Dak Prescott performed in his rookie season to say that he will be. But I think he certainly has the potential. And obviously he's going to go a lot higher in the draft than with Dak Prescott. Right now I have him going number 12 to Cleveland. I think he certainly has got the potential, but it's just so hard for me to say, yes, he's going to be better, especially after the way Dak performed his rookie season. So I think the safest answer for me would be, I don't think he's going to be better than Dak Prescott.
Okay. JQ?
Yeah, that's tough. No, I'm here. That's tough. I hate to say we're comparing, but that dude, Deshaun, just wins, man. And he just wins. And it's something to be said for winning in big games on a consistent basis. And, yeah, just the things he's got to work on, absolutely. He's by far a perfect quarterback. But if I was going to take any quarterback high in this draft, for me, it would be Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's won a championship. He lost another one to Nick Saban in the machine that is the Alabama Crimson Tide. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, he keeps them in games and for national contenders, and he shows up when it matters the most. At some point, you got to recognize that winning is winning. And he's a big part of that winning. It's not like he's riding some, you know, vaunted defense to these, you know, he's scoring 44 and 40 points in the championship game to win or whatever it was. It's insane. I just hate to put that kind of pressure on him out the gate. I don't know out the gate if he's going to have the same rookie year that Dak had, but over the long haul of a career, could I see him being comparable or even better than Dak? I can't.
Yeah, that's a good call. I kind of agree with both of you guys. I agree with you definitely, JQ, because he's a winner. There's things you can't teach, like you can't teach heart. He came from a pretty rough scenario in his life that he's overcome. And like you said, he's got some intangibles, man, that are just amazing. So, you know, yeah, I mean, like you said, maybe long term, you know, maybe not the first, you know, year, if you will, because like you said, kind of with you, Rob, it depends on the team that gets him. If he gets like on a team like an Arizona Cardinals that kind of have, you know, things already set, you know, then he can kind of grow into that. He doesn't have to be kind of forced into action. If he goes and forced into a Cleveland and he's forced into immediate, you know, starting status, he's going to struggle because they don't have anything, you know, he didn't have anything to build on. So it kind of depends on the team that he's on. But I do think in the long term, I mean, like I said, Dak had the perfect storm. I mean, they were pretty much ready-made. And you got Ezekiel Elliott, boom, you know, you were pretty much there. I mean, there shows some of the things that the Dallas needs to have, but that was just a good landing place for him. Like I said, it depends on what team happens, but I agree with you, JQ. I just like him, you know, as a great pick, you know, because I just think he's going to do well, man. So speaking of that, and there's not a lot of love. Everyone likes Mitch Trubisky. Everyone likes, you know, Kaiser or whatever because of athleticism. But you got to think about all those things. And speaking of that, Rob, really quickly, there were six quarterbacks that were drafted ahead of somebody, and I don't know why you put this in there just to kind of harass me, but Tom Brady and the six QBs that were drafted, you know, this is kind of that. This is surprising because you look at it, you're like, what? So give me those quick quarterbacks really quickly, Rob, because I didn't want to talk about that.
Let's
talk
come back
about
to that one because I'm trying to find my notes on that, and I apologize to our listeners.
That's okay. That's okay.
Give me a second to pull my notes back up,
right,
and we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. Maybe I don't know if JQ wants to talk about that too. So, you know, like I said, it's like, yeah, you know, all good. Let's talk about a couple things too, because I do want to ask about, you know, the thoughts about the season. We're switching gears into the NBA playoff form here. There's a couple teams that, you know, that may have lost their way. Clippers look like they are going to get beat by the Jazz so far, and some questions asked by some lawyers or some reporters, excuse me. And I think, yeah, the Blake Griffin thing, I think they kind of lost their heart, man. I mean, and I don't know if Blake Griffin's going to be there, and that's surprising to say. But, yeah, this guy's not going to be there. Paul George, we talked about some things that happened with him. He may not be going. What do you think about a good destination for him? Do you think, JQ, as far as a good spot for Paul George? And the word is he may be going to the Lakers, bro. So, yeah, what's your thoughts about that, man?
Yes and no, because I feel like people don't really like Paul George. You watch what's happening around him, like the way he threw C.J. Miles under the bus, you know, then he threw Lance Stephenson under the bus after the second game. It's like his talent is there, but I don't know if Paul George is mentally there. And if I'm, as a Lakers fan, do I want him as the superstar vet that you bring in to mentor your younger guys? Like, if they did it on face value, I'd be like, okay, you know, he's going to help us win more games. But I don't know if it's going to be a detriment in the long run. And the reporter stuff, you know, listen, I wish people would just say it. Like, the reason Westbrook, you know, went at him like that is because they have a history. That's the same one he went to that went through the whole, you know, we just executed the play kind of thing because he doesn't like that reporter. So that reporter asked that question, which was a valid question of what's happening when you go to the bench and it goes from plus 16 to minus 15. As a reporter watching three games, why would you not ask that question? And then you jump in. That to me is like, come on, Wes.
Yeah,
you know, Russ. It's not about agitating. Why would you not ask the question that we want to know an answer to as somebody on the second unit of what's happening where you can't keep a lead and, you know, what do you need to do better? So that piece for me, I didn't necessarily like. I liked CP3, though, yesterday with the, yeah, of course I think he's going to come back and play. Like, why wouldn't we?
Yeah,
like,
what kind of question is that?
That question is dumb.
That question
is dumb. The other question to me is not dumb. They're not the exact same thing. That's all I'm trying to point out.
Rob, your thoughts, man. He didn't really say where he'd be a good destination, but go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts with him, man. Go ahead.
I'm going to answer this and wait till y'all hear the list of quarterbacks that were drafted ahead of Tom Brady. But when you get back to Paul George, obviously JQ talked about the Lakers. I think the Clippers
He's from LA,
is
right?
obviously another team that would love to see if they can pair him. The Clippers, as they are not going to win the championship. We've talked about that on the show before. Blake Griffin can't seem to stay hurt. I'm sorry, he can't seem to stay healthy. and even Chris Paul, to a certain degree, seems to have his share of injuries as well at the wrong time. So, I mean, the Clippers, as they're constructed right now, are not going to win the championship. They're not better than the Warriors. They're not going to be better than the Spurs. And you can make case now that they won't be better than the Rockets. So they have to do something. So Paul George could possibly be a fit there. You get rid of Blake Griffin, maybe you bring him in, see what you can possibly do with that kind of team. I think also when you look at the Eastern Conference, the Celtics obviously believe that they're close. So you put them on a team like the Celtics. And a sleeper team I think you watch is the Miami Heat. I'm sorry?
Because you know Gordon Hayward's going to the Celtics. Stop it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Another,
hey, Rob,
a sleeper team is the Miami Heat. Miami Heat came on really strong this season. They just missed the playoffs. Pat Riley is a closer. And so that's one sleeper team that's in the Eastern Conference that they don't feel like they're that far off as well. So that will be another sleeper team to watch for Paul George.
Hey,
that's
Rob,
a good
hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Drive,
hold that thought really quickly.
White
we got yeah. wrap Wait. Up the show. We got. I totally didn't get the OT. Just wrap up. We got 10 seconds, wrap us up for the OT. OT, I totally missed it. I'm having too much fun here. Go ahead, Rob.
We're going into the OT portion. We still got a lot to talk about, people. Football, basketball, you don't want to miss it. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We'll get that OT portion. We're going to roll on Wednesday night again next week, fellas.
That's fine. Rob, that's longer than 10 seconds, Rob.
Thursday
that's
night?
That's longer than 10 seconds, Rob. Come on, Rob. That's
okay.
Longer than 10 seconds, bro.
Hey, that's hard. Next week, Thursday night, people, you don't want to miss us. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Thursday night, people. Good night.
We've been in the OT for about, 30 seconds now. I'm sorry. That was on me. I apologize. I was like, we got to do that. Nah, that was on me because I was just like, oh, man. She's like going 12 seconds. I'm like, we got more than enough time. All right. That was my bad. That was on me. But, all right. So, really quickly, because we're going to talk about these quarterbacks too. But I think another sleeper team for Paul George, believe it or not, could be the Portland Trailblazers, guys. And I know it sounds kind of crazy. But, they need another kind of score or two to kind of balance out, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. So I think that's actually a good, he can look at. Now, granted, he may be like, that's going to be tough in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
But, he may want to stay in the East Coast, but, the Eastern Conference to get quicker. But that's another spot that I'd see him possibly. Hey, what team needs another score, if you will. So that's me, man. I don't know what you think about that.
But how do you get Paul George without having to give up Dame or CJ? You're going to have to give up one of them. Larry Bird ain't just going to give Paul George away.
I'm not.
Are you going to give up like three
first
round picks?
Well, he's a first round. He's a free agent.
No, he got one more year left.
No, you're right. He does have one more year left. He does.
Does he have one more
year left?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. I didn't see that. Okay. All right. Okay, good job, JQ, trying to mess up my dreams and hopes and realities and for Portland. Sorry, guys. Come back around to that. All right. give me these six quarterbacks, Rob, that you got on this. Go ahead, man.
Chad Pennington was the first quarterback taken in that draft. He was the number 18th overall to the Jets, was the first QB taken in that draft. Second quarterback taken in the draft was number 65. Giovanni Carmazzi to the 49ers. The third quarterback taken in the draft. Also in the third round, Chris Redman to the Ravens.
Oh, wow.
Number 75. I don't know if any of these names ring a bell to y'all.
Oh, yeah.
T. Martin,
yeah.
Tennessee. He led Tennessee to the national title, something Peyton Manning could do. Went number 163 overall to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mobile.
Also got picked ahead of. And this is the one guy that maybe did have some success in the NFL, maybe a few Pro Bowl seasons. Mark Bolger was picked by the Saints, believe it or not. Well, he had most of his success with the Rams.
The Rams.
Was picked number 168. Yeah. And then last but not least, Spurgeon Wynn. To the Cleveland Browns, number 183. Those are the six QBs taken ahead of Tom Brady. Wow.
That
was a horrible. Other than Brady, that was a pretty bad draft class.
Yeah, my goodness. That is, Spurgeon Wynn? Wow. That takes me way back in time. Yeah, that's awful. Yeah, I know about T. I was going to say, he won it when Peyton Sitton. Mobile, Alabama, stand up.
You know what's interesting about all those picks, too, is that all those teams still supposedly need quarterbacks. I would say that, maybe the Rams have finally gotten their answer, but, you still got,
the
49ers. You would have loved to have a Tom Brady. I mean, you can't predict the future how it would happen, but he was in your backyard. Cleveland, about Cleveland. The Joker's are still looking for a quarterback. Your Rams, like I said, we're still kind of figuring out that. Who else was it? Who else did you mention?
The Saints actually drafted Mark Bolger, but they sent him to the Rams.
Saints are good. Saints are good because they've got Drew Brees, obviously. But, that had been different if they would have kept – Mark Bolger wasn't quite ready. But, it just kind of shows you perpetually how, who knows what would happen. But they're still trying to figure out quarterbacks. All right. Good call on that, to say the least. Where are we at? We've got about 10 minutes here. Anything else you want to talk about as far as that? You want to move on to some more NBA talk here, guys? JQ, you good with that? Six quarterbacks, whatever?
I don't want to talk about Tom Brady more than I have to.
Yeah, there it is. We're on the same page. Gentlemen, Russell Westbrook's season is over. He like – this is a question that I had in my mind. You know, I don't think he's going to leave because of, you know, the backlash that Kevin Durant had. But if you're a player, do you want to play with Russell Westbrook? Do you think his teammates like him? Do you think he's like, you know, whatever? Or is he going to keep suffering? I mean, what's your thoughts about – I'm going to kick it to you, Rob, as far as, you know, Russell Westbrook and the future, if you will.
Well, I think obviously in the NBA, you need 2 to 3 superstars to have a chance at being a contender. That's just the way the league is set up right now.
Carmelo?
And so I think if you're in this day and age in the NBA, superstars are looking to join other superstars to have a chance at a title. And the way the salary cap is set up today, most teams could really afford 3 max players. And in some cases, if you do it right, you can tinker around and maybe get 4 players. But, you know, obviously I think if you're looking around the league and you're a superstar that needs to partner up with another superstar, you have to give Russell Westbrook a chance. I mean, you look how close that he and Kevin Durant came in OKC. I mean, they were on the verge of eliminating Golden State last season in the Western Conference Finals. So you can't tell me that you can't win with Russell Westbrook. So I think the right pairing of superstars, you have a chance. And obviously when he and Kevin Durant, James Harden were together, they went to the finals and lost to Miami, to the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so obviously I think if you're not a superstar in this league, whether you go to OKC or whether Russell Westbrook joins your team, I still think you have to look at him as an option because the guy can just do so many things. So my thing is he's come very close on a few occasions. I think with the right set of right team or the right teammates, he could definitely have a chance of winning a championship.
The thing about that with Russell Westbrook is that he's such an alpha male that it's hard for other alpha males to want to go play with him because he will not succumb to them. He's going to be no doubt number one, and that didn't always work. And that's why it didn't work for Kobe and Shaq over the long haul. But Kobe got enough of a malleable second star in Pau Gasol, who was really, really, really good, which would defer to Kobe because he was just – it was understood that he was better than him. He's going to need a star like that to come play because it's going to be Russell's show. And you, if you're the second or third star, you have to be okay with it being Russell's show because that's how he's made up, and it won't work. If it's not that, that's why I think it's going to be harder for Russell Westbrook. I really do. I mean,
I agree.
I don't know if it's going to work out. He has all the talent. Don't get me wrong, but if another dude to come and just like, you know what, it's his show. I defer to him, even though I know I feel like I'm a superstar in my own right, and I am to everybody else. That's tough to get that dude to come in just because Russell Westbrook just has that force of nature about him. That
yeah. Not comparing Russell Westbrook to Michael Jordan, but a similar situation. Michael Jordan was going to be the dominant alpha male on those teams
yeah.
in the 90s. And Scottie Pippen was okay with that second role.
Yep.
And Scottie Pippen made a Hall of Fame career out of being that second role. And he was arguably just as good. Well, not just as good as Jordan, but he was just as good as many other players. There's no – Jordan didn't get Pippen into the Hall of Fame. Pippen got Pippen into the Hall of Fame.
I agree. He's
yep.
going to
and,
need that.
And then there was
yep.
always, on each of those three-peat teams, there was the third guy. There was Rodman in the first. Yeah, the, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, agree. Yeah. He's going to need that, though.
I agree that Westbrook
I think the thing you got to keep in mind, gentlemen, as well, is that Russell Westbrook is obviously a top 5 player in the NBA right now. So any other superstar that comes and join him or a superstar Westbrook goes and join is not going to be as good as Russell Westbrook. Obviously, he's already in the top probably top 5 player in the league. So for, I think, 9 times out of 10 here, if he does partner with a superstar, which I don't think is going to be next year, in my personal opinion, but at some point in his career, if he partners up with another superstar or two, they're not going to be as good as Russell Westbrook. I mean, right now he's a top 5 player in
right.
the league. And
right, right.
So you're talking maybe somewhere between 6 to 30 as far as other, you know, potential stars joining him on a team. So they won't be as good as Russell Westbrook. So he'll definitely be that number one guy on the team.
What about Paul George and Russell Westbrook going back to the LA roots?
Well, they both go to the L.A. roots. I mean, you know, obviously I think Paul George is a great player, but I still think the number one guy is still going to be Westbrook out of those two players.
That'd be interesting to see if they did that. I hope it will work.
Going to the Lakers or going to the Clippers?
Going to the Lakers. They're not going to go play for the Clippers.
I'm just asking the question. Don't get on me. I'm just asking the question to figure out which one. I'm just clarifying, you know. I'm just saying.
He wishes they go to the Lakers.
I do.
I'm just asking the question.
Don't
kill the messenger.
I am transparent with my fandom. I am absolutely hoping they go there. I don't know if it'll work, but I would love to see it try. Absolutely. No shame in my game.
Well, one thing you have to say about this in regards to the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously Magic Johnson is running the show there. You know, him walking into any room, he's going to be a great salesman. There's no doubt about that, and that's what scares me about the Lakers right now. He's walking into a free agent's room, he's going to be a great salesman. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Oh, Magic's going to talk that talk.
That doesn't guarantee he's going to get the right players, but whoever he wants, I mean, there's a good chance he's going to be able to close them.
Right. What he wants may not be what the Lakers need, but if he wants it, he's going to get it. That's a fantastic statement, Rob. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. All right, gentlemen. I want to get all that in. All right, so we are officially at the end of this. We got about 4 minutes to wrap this thing up. So I think now is the time to kind of get ready to set us up officially for OT for next week and all that fun stuff too. So go ahead, Rob. That was with me, man. I feel bad. Go ahead.
Well, next week we're going to be on the air on Thursday night. Obviously, we got to do a NFL draft recap. We're going to go over our winners and losers of the draft next week. We're going to talk NBA playoffs and see we should be getting right into the middle of the second round of the NBA playoffs. So there'll be a lot to recap on that front as well. So we'll have all of that covered for you on next Thursday. You don't want to miss us. Once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Join us next Thursday. We look forward to having you.
JQ.
Yep, absolutely. Appreciate y'all for listening to the podcast, downloading and listening to us talk junk to each other on the OT. I can't even contain my excitement right now. I'm so happy this draft is coming. I'm so ready for it. Like, I'm not as good as Robbie is with the, you know, multiple round projections, but I am definitely in tune to what the teams are doing this year. I'm looking forward to it. I hope everybody out there listening is looking forward to it. And that's probably going to be what we talk about most of the show next week.
Don't worry about it. I put all that work in those mock drafts, and none of them going to be right.
That's true. That's tough, man. I asked this to Rob. I'm going to ask this to you, JQ, too. Do you get, like, the draft magazines, the draft guides? Because that's something I would always get. But, you know, I know with the internet now, is that something that you still – do you enjoy having that guide in your hand, or is that something that's – is that kind of, like, kind of lost its luster, if you will, sir?
It's kind of only lost it because of the age of the internet where you don't have to have it and spend the money on it. I'll go to a free site and look at the list of prospects, you know, like CBS Sports or like Watcher Football and stuff like that, and kind of look at the prospects of where they're projected to go and, you know, read up on some of those second to fifth round picks where the money is really made as a GM, where you build the crux of your team. So, you know, I used to, but now more of the internet than anything else.
Yeah, and that's kind of tough, too, because I'm kind of like 50-50 on it, too. Rob, you about to say something, too. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, even when, you know, the NFL draft, you know, your head coaches have a lot of say in the early rounds. But when you start getting to the mid to late rounds, that's when your scouts' input become very important. The head coaches don't really know a lot about the guys from the mid to late rounds. They're really just giving information to those guys on what they need, what they're looking for their team, but they really rely on their scouts' input when they start getting to those rounds. Once you start getting past the second and the third round, it becomes very heavily crucial on a scouts' evaluations.
Yep.
Love it.
Agreed.
Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, good call. Like I said, I'm kind of 50-50, man, because I still enjoy having the magazines and just kind of like just diving in. But, yeah, I mean, I'll evolve. But anyway, gentlemen, it's been a fun evening. We hope you had a great time. Literally, I'm not sure when it's going to cut out. But like I said, next week, we're so excited about the draft tomorrow. We're going to see who's happy, what's going to happen. I think there's going to be, like, a lot of movement, guys. I think we're going to be in for a nice little surprise, man. So there's always some shockers. Some draft
a lot of trades.
Man, but that's kind of – yeah, I'm looking at that
yeah,
too,
I think
man.
So.
So there's not, like, that consensus. Everyone's got consensus number one player, but I think it's going to change. But anyway, we'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. Seacrest out.